you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Fill her up!
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Hey guys, today's show is brought to you by Amigo Bidets. Amigo is the greatest thing to clean your butt with, and we will be telling you more about that during the episode. But we've got a fan contest we wanted to announce. The best fan-filmed commercial for Amigo will win $500 plus an Amigo bidet, and we will air the winning commercial at the end of the podcast. The deadline to enter is October 29th. Email gasdigitalmarketing@gmail.com. for more info. Okay, let's start the show.
We need to roll back the state. We spy on all of our own citizens.
Our prisons are flooded with nonviolent drug offenders.
If you want to know who America's next enemy is, look at who we're funding right now. Every single one of these problems are a result of government being way too big.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to a brand new episode of Part of the Problem. I am the Libertarian Tupac, the most consistent motherfucker you know, and he is the king of the cocks, Robbie the Fire Bernstein. We are getting down to the nitty-gritty here, and we've got a good show for you guys today. I'm excited to get into some of this stuff. I've been predicting for a while now, based off absolutely nothing, that there would be a huge October surprise. Like, there's going to be something really big that comes out before the election. And it's just purely a gut thing. I'm not like holding on to any information or something like that. My connections don't go quite that high up. It just feels like that. Feels like that type of year. There's going to be some big thing. And I'm starting to think more and more that this Hunter Biden hard drive is the thing. And not just the initial story that came out, but I think there's more to this. And I'm judging this based on what's being implied, some circumstantial evidence, but mostly just by the response to it from the Democrats and from the corporate press. This is getting very, very bizarre. We're into strange territory here. So let's just jump right into it. There's been conspiracies going around that what's on the hard drives is incriminating. Not incriminating photos, because we've already seen incriminating photos of Hunter Biden.
Biden fucking kids wearing a wizard outfit, diddling the youngsters, getting in there, showing you tight holes.
This is what the rumors are. Now, I don't know. I have no idea whether or not, you know, there's pedophilia stuff, you know, images or videos of Hunter Biden having sex with underage people. That is what the rumors are out there. Now, I'll say, when it comes to rumors like this, here's generally my rule of thumb with this shit. I don't believe blindly any wild conspiracy theories. You know, just jump on them. I think oftentimes there are people who do that and they end up looking very foolish when it doesn't pan out. That being said, I never put anything past the blood-soaked monsters who make up the ruling elite. These are people who will do truly horrific things and lose no sleep over it. And that lets you know what type of people they are. It's not, you know, when if you really get red pilled on the nature of the state and particularly the warfare state, you realize these are the people making these decisions. Now, the fact that, say, Obama, along with the Saudis, launched a war of genocide in Yemen, right? Most people don't know about that shit. And this is why they don't judge Obama by that. It's they're completely unaware. If you just talk to the average person on the street, even your average Fox News watching Republican who wants to hate Obama, you know, they'll be like, why do you hate Obama? And it's like, well, he destroyed the country and he, you know, Benghazi or something like that, you know. But if you ask them about the genocide in Yemen, the answer would simply be, I don't know what you're talking about. That's the truth. However, the people in the ruling elite know goddamn well what's going on in Yemen, and they're fine with it. And that lets you know, like these are, it might be across the world, it might be over there, but these are children being slaughtered and they're okay with that. So if you're the type of person who's okay with children being slaughtered, I don't put anything else past you. So I don't hear any of these conspiracies and go, well, I just can't believe that because they would never, if that makes sense. I also don't just jump onto it. So when there's this stuff going on, I'm like, whatever. Now, that being said, with this one particularly, there are some things that are odd. Okay, some things that are a little bit odd. Now, I got sent a video recently by somebody who's pretty, you know, a pretty big deal, sent me a video of this guy who it's a Chinese guy who was basically like a dissident from the Chinese Communist Party. And he was predicting weeks ago, before the New York Post story broke, that there was this hard drive, that it had gotten into the hands of Trump's people, and that it had not only the corruption between Joe Biden and Hunter Biden taking money from China and Ukraine, but also that it had these pedo tapes on it. And I, okay, that in itself is not that huge of a story. You know, it's like whatever, but it was enough to give you a little bit of pause. Like, well, the guy did predict the initial story correctly, and he's claiming this other thing happened too. Okay, it, you know, just a thing that you kind of like, I take note of that, you know, I noticed that. And then you see the conspiracies spreading all over online. Again, nothing conclusive or nothing that's really hard evidence, but enough to go like, okay, some, you know, there's something going on here. And then you find out that the guy at the FBI who was tasked with looking into this is somebody who's been looking into like pedophilia rings. And that seems like a little bit strange. And then you remember that Savannah Guthrie, whatever that lady's name at NBC News is, very randomly asked Donald Trump to condemn pedophilia conspiracies at the last town hall, which was odd. It's just that wasn't in the news before. That wasn't a thing. There was no, it seemed like a very strange question to be asked of him, which Trump did not do. You know, he did not condemn it. And instead he came out and was like, I'm totally against pedophilia. And it's just, anyway, it's just kind of interesting that pedophilia came up. Like, pedophilia doesn't usually come up at a presidential town hall. That's not a normal subject. And with all this other stuff in there, you're kind of like, that's interesting. And
you got one more connection, which was out of that Senate report. They affiliated payments from a Russian gangster, like a wife of a mayor who was involved in the mob, and I think had some sort of affiliation to at least whore trafficking. I don't know that it was child trafficking, but that was the, even though this goes down like kind of like the loony rabbit hole, but if you're laying out all like the little dots here to suggest that there might be evidence for that, that is one of the little pieces of evidence.
It's I'll tell you, it's just several different things coming together that make you go, huh. And then when you take a look at those things and go, huh, and you look back at how Twitter shut down the story and Facebook shut down the story in a way that they had really never done before with a different story, it does seem a little bit fishy. Now, again,
without
this is not proof of anything. I'm just saying seems fishy.
Without the entire pedophilia element, though, there might be enough corruption here that it would make sense for Twitter, Facebook, YouTube to have shut this down. I think part of what lost Hillary the election the last time was like that Russia collusion and the FBI reinvestigating it a month out, the way that that kind of just, you know, went wild on social media and they realized, oh, shit, like even if there's just a question in people's minds, it can sway voting. So Well, look, you want to go the benefit of the doubt. Maybe this is a fake story. They go, oh, shit, this fake story swirling around with only 20 days for us to discredit it. Yeah. This is a really big fake story and it can sway voters. There's enough corruption. There's enough corruption here. And I think that corruption is going to come true. It's almost weird that the Ukraine thing was never fully investigated. And I think that there's enough there. And there's enough that like people are just aware of that corruption that. So anyways. There's enough without this pedophilia thing that it would make sense that the powers that be would try and shut down the story.
Yeah. Well, listen, what you have here, even short of any of that stuff, is you have a pretty huge scandal going right into the election. I mean, the more you look at this and the more details that come out from it, this is a big deal. First of all, it's important to note that no one from the Biden campaign or Hunter Biden or anyone like that is coming out and saying this is false. This is not Hunter's emails. This is like they're not. And evidently, a lot of news sources are claiming that this has really been verified at this point, that this is Hunter's, meaning that they've contacted a lot of people who were emailed from these email accounts that say that confirm that, yes, that we were emailing with Hunter Biden.
Also, if it did come, let's just say theoretically it had come for Russia. This goes back to like that Hillary Clinton thing where you go interfere. It doesn't matter. It's true information. If there's true information here of the fact that you're corrupt, it doesn't matter where it came from. That shouldn't now be ignored because it can't, you know.
No, absolutely. I mean, look, our problem with Hillary Clinton doing opposition research on Donald Trump using a former British spy, Christopher Steele, who it looks like might have been in somehow related to the Russian government, but putting out this Steele dossier, the problem is that it was fake. Like, I don't care right. that it was opposition research or how it was done. If all that stuff was true, then of course that would be very important. And as you might notice, when they were pretending that shit was true, no one in the entire corporate press went, well, you know what? This is out of bounds because it's private information or it's opposition research or anything like that. No, when they thought there was a chance it was true, even though most of them knew, they were very happy to use that. So that's, you know, that same standard can be applied to this stuff.
It's like if Osama bin Laden came out of a cave with a folder of information on all of Donald Trump's finances and him being involved in child trafficking, we'd go, shit, apparently we still got to kill Osama bin Laden. But then we'd also go, what's in the folder? Wow, he did some really good research here. If it was all factually accurate, we wouldn't go, well, that's from Osama bin Laden.
Yeah, go, I mean, look, think about anything that's like really important. Like if you found out, I don't know, like if you found out that like the, you know, the chemicals in your kid's food could kill them or something like that, like your kid's life is in danger. And you'd be like, yeah, but you found out by hacking into someone's computer. Would you go, oh, okay, well, then I don't want the information that way. It's like, no, you want the fucking information because this is a matter of life and death. And this shit is important. It's also a matter of life and death. So, like, this is no joke. So, yeah, you want accurate information no matter how you got it. All right, guys, let's take a quick break. I want to tell you about our brand new sponsor, awesome sponsor, and that is Harry's. Harry's just came out with the sharpest blade ever. And unlike some of the other razor companies, they're not charging you more for their products' improvements. Harry's new sharper blades are still as low as $2 each. You got to go check out Harry's razors. Everybody loves this company. It's known as the best place to get razors. You can find Harry's new sharper blades in big box drugstores, grocery stores, near you. If you like to shop online in the U.S., customers can redeem a trial offer of Harry's new sharper blades by going to harrys.com/ problem. Now, you might be wondering why people love Harry's so much. Other razor companies have increased their prices when they introduce something new. Harry's is delivering their sharpest shave ever, and they aren't raising prices. These new blades are so sharp that in a study with guys shaving four times a week, the guys reported that with Harry's new blades, their eighth shave was as smooth as their first. You might be wondering how they deliver quality at such low prices. Harry's owns a German factory that's been honing razor blades for 100 years. They source their steel from Sweden and own their entire manufacturing process from the R&D to the factory floor. This allows them to keep their prices low and confidently stand by a 100% quality guarantee at onharrys.com. You can get Harry's sharpest blades ever at big box, drug, and grocery stores near you. Just head over to the grooming aisle. And if you like to shop online, new U.S. customers can redeem a Harry's trial set at harrys.com/problem. You'll get a 5-blade razor featuring their new sharpest blade, a weighted handle, foaming shave gel with aloe, and a travel cover to protect your blade when you go on the road. Just go to harrys.com/problem and redeem your trial offer today. I'm telling you guys, you got to go to harrys.com/problem. Everyone loves these blades. Go check them out. It's a great deal for a great product. harrys.com/problem. All right, let's get back into the show. Okay, there's a few clips that I wanted to play today. All right, so here is Ron Johnson, who is a sitting senator, on Maria Bartiromo's show on Fox News. And here's a little clip from their interview.
Here on Sunday Morning Futures, there is more to come. And there is a further analysis of the subpoena's handwriting. And it suggests that the subpoena was served by an FBI agent whose name is Joshua Wilson. And over the last 5 years, he has been working on child pornography issues. Connect the dots. If an FBI agent is working on child pornography issues for 5 years, why is he subpoenaing the laptop of Hunter Biden? Is there a connection here? Should this suggest that there's a child pornography issue here on that laptop?
Well, I think he just made the connection. Again, this is what the FBI, I think, has to come clean about. This isn't a standard investigation where, you know, if the FBI doesn't indict somebody that everything remains confidential. This is something that, as we were talking about, relates to national security. And if there's criminal activity involved that could be tied to Hunter Biden or his business associates, or even possibly tied back to other members of the Biden family, and as some of these emails indicate, that Joe Biden was fully aware of this. He was taking his 10% cut or requiring 50% from his family member's salary. This needs to be known before Americans go to the polls.
So was the FBI agent who served the subpoena investigating child pornography, Senator?
Well, you just read the news report. I can't comment any further. I don't want to speculate other than to say that what I said publicly before, our report uncovered so many troubling connections, so many things that need to be investigated that I really think we're just scratching the surface. And yes, I've heard all kinds of things that I think will probably be revealed over the next few days. There's a treasure trove of emails and video and pictures in not only the purported computer of Hunter Biden, but now we've got the co-conspirator, Bevin Cooney, that also starting to reveal information. I guess we're probably going to just find new, more information every day over the next couple of weeks.
Well, I welcome new information, but it does seem to be just a little bit odd. And I don't know. And again, I don't want to like jump to conclusions. I don't know what could account for this. Maybe there's some other explanation. It's even possible, by the way, if the guy was the FBI director is working on like child pornography cases, it's also possible that this was that there was child pornography on the computer. That's very different than the theory that Hunter Biden is in the child pornography that's on the computer, right? So that's two very different things, both, you know, disgusting, but different levels of disgusting. But it is interesting that, you know, just to watch Ron Johnson's response there. Now, you could say he's just, you know, playing politics and wants to keep the that idea or that conspiracy going. But he's not exactly, I don't know. I would just find that a little bit strange. Even something like that, even in a political season, most politicians would say, like, well, I haven't seen anything about that. There's no reason to think that. But the real story here is the corruption. It's just kind of interesting the way he played it. And he's, you know, we will see. I think there's no question more stuff's going to come out. We'll see what it's going to be.
I also want to point out there's something really shady here in regards to the FBI. If you remember in the Epstein case, it finally got investigated. Like the FBI finally acted on its evidence when they lost a Freedom of Information Act. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden people were like, what the fuck? How did this guy get off? And then the FBI came out and said, oh, we're doing a full investigation. Believe me, they had all the evidence. They didn't want to investigate. They lost the kind of the public battle on it. And so the second they did, they realized, oh, we can't be on the wrong side of this one. And they went out. They did a full investigation on this. It sounds like the guy at first handed over the hard drive to the FBI. So I don't really quite understand why they'd been sitting on it for this long.
That's a very interesting question.
Until Giuliani finally, I guess, handed it over to the press. Still, the origins of this thing seems a little bit shady, that Hunter Biden would be so stupid to drop this off at a computer repair shop, or that even if it came from the Russians and it turns out to be true material. The real question here is, do we have true material, and do we have hard evidence of the fact that essentially Hunter Biden is taking bribes on behalf of his father to pay him out? And that's the real story here. Or if there's, you know, kids getting diddled, which is definitely more scandalous and interesting than a bunch of dollars getting paid.
Well, that's right. I mean, look, there's two major scandals here. And the truth is that the Ukrainian element of it is not going to pack the punch that the Chinese element of it will, or that, of course, the pedophilia element would. The pedophilia element, just because it's the most disgusting thing in the world, and most normal human beings have a certain visceral reaction to that type of shit that is somewhere in the level of, I want to kill the person who did this, and I want to torture that person before I kill them. That's most normal people's response to, you know, victimizing a child in that way.
But China thing could be good for us in that, all of a sudden it could become quite aware to the American people that, let's just say they think Trump's in bed with the Russians, and then they find out, well, you know, the other side is in bed with the Chinese, with China. So what kind of a country do we have here, right, where they're getting bribed by foreign countries? And the story that Giuliani was trying to put forward is that essentially he's received a lot of bribe money, like in the vein of like $20 million from China and that kind of stuff. What do you think that happens when they go to table to like negotiate on the major trade deals? Do you really think like that's where his payday is? He gets his giant payday. Yeah.
So this is the argument that Giuliani's making. We'll see if anything that is backed up that comes out in these emails. But the argument is that, excuse me, it's not that Joe Biden is, you know, soft on China because he's stupid, as we all thought. Turns out that he's corrupt, and this is why he's selling out the country to China. Now, I do think that narrative is powerful to a lot of people. This is one of the really main things that Donald Trump ran on in 2016. It's like China. Remember all this stuff about China? We don't win anymore. China's winning. Americans, particularly Republicans, get very competitive about who's like the best, who's the best country in the world. And we're supposed to be the best. And China wants to be the best. No question about that, and all that stuff. But of course, this year, this is, to say heightened would be an understatement, because, you know, if you haven't noticed, China kind of did a very big thing to the world this year. And the Chinese government, for sure, did. So the fact that there was this virus that has, you know, came from Wuhan and has infected, you know, like the entire globe. And, you know, now this part isn't China's fault, but the government response has fucking destroyed, you know, all of the economies of the, you know, civilized world. That pisses a lot of people off. And if you're seen as being in bed with them, or if you are in bed with them, that's going to be a major problem. And this election is certainly close enough where a major scandal like this could tip the scales. But nothing would be as devastating as, you know, pedophilia, because that's just going to get a visceral reaction from all decent people.
It turns out the way, you know, parents like to live vicariously through their kids, Biden as vice president, he couldn't be diddling kids. but he could call up Hunter and be like, what did her hair smell like?
It was Biden's like, listen, my son diddles kids, but I just sniff them. And yeah. I've always been on record as only said, this is as far as I take it, is very uncomfortable sniffing on camera repeatedly. So look, we'll see what happens there. Now, one of the things that's interesting to watch, as I was saying, as I was mentioning before, is the response to all of this. So whether it's the social media censorship, or it's the, you know, the question that Trump got about the QAnon stuff, which again, I just thought was very strange at the time. And then after hearing all of this stuff, but keep in mind the question, it was the day after this Post story, this New York Post story came out. So it just seems it was a very strange question that you would not expect to normally get at a town hall. Like, I can't stress this enough. It's very weird at a presidential town hall, he would get asked about pedophilia. And not, by the way, he was not asked about pedophilia to denounce pedophilia. He was asked to denounce the people who believe there are pedophilia rings going on, which, again, very strange, very, very strange. And for that to come the day after this story and then all of these theories come out, it's just, it's enough to make you kind of scratch your head and be like, what's really going on here? Now, one of the tactics that the Democrats have been using as well is to call this a Russian disinformation campaign, which is,
doesn't matter.
I don't even know what to say about this. I mean, it's right. You're right. It doesn't matter. It's also complete bullshit, of course. And as we've, you know, covered the Russia hoax, you know, extensively over the last few years. But, you know, in some ways, I think it might be smart politics because, you know, I saw some polling on this, which was like, it was in 2019. I think it was like the middle of the year in 2019. And so this is a little while ago. I don't know exactly what where the opinions of people are, but this was after the Mueller report had come out, and it was a little less than half. I think something like 48% of the country believed that Donald Trump had conspired with the Russians to interfere in the election. So even after a lot of this, now more stuff has come out since then, so perhaps it's changed a little bit, but my guess would be it's probably still something like 2/3 of Democratic voters who believe that Donald Trump conspired with the Russians. This is what happens. It's the whole big lie, you know, philosophy. If you repeat a lie often enough, enough people believe it, or at least think there's something there, right? I wouldn't have heard this every day on CNN for 3 years if there wasn't something to it. So that's what you create, that kind of, you know, that climate. And so it's not completely, you know, stupid politics to throw that out there. Here, this will make a whole bunch of people just not listen to it. Oh, this is Russian disinformation. It's bullshit, and it's coming from the Russians because they're trying to get Trump reelected. I mean, it's, you know, it's a complete lie, but it might be effective to some degree, at least. It might mitigate the damage of this scandal to some degree. All right, guys, let's take a quick second. I want to thank our sponsor for today's show, which is Amigo. They're an amazing bidet brand changing your bathroom experience forever. You will never want to go back to just using toilet paper. You feel so much cleaner and better. It's like you kind of wonder how you were ever not using a bidet after you go do your business. It's life-changing. I love mine, and that's why I want you guys to go check out Amigo. It's O-M-I-G-O. They make incredible modern bidets delivered right to your front door. With Amigo, you can turn any toilet into a bidet. It's so incredibly easy to install. No need to call a plumber. You can do it yourself very simply. Think about it. You're going to the bathroom every day. Why not treat yourself with a little respect? It will change your life just like it's changed mine. You'll never go back to just using toilet paper. You have to check them out. They have a bidet for every toilet, every butt, every budget. Go to myamigo.com/POTP and take 15% off the price today. That's myamigo.com/POTP, myomigo.com/POTP to get 15% off. Get a bidet today. All right, let's get back into the show. So let's play the next video, which is of Ratcliffe, the director of national intelligence, because this was worth, you know, noting that this happened. Oh, and Maria Bartiromo again. She's getting a lot of shine right on the show.
is the Director of National Intelligence, John Ratcliffe. Director, it's great to have you this morning. Thank you so much for being here.
Good morning, Maria. Good to be with you.
I want to start on the validity of all of this because we have been doing a deep dive into this laptop and these emails, which indicate Hunter Biden was cashing in on his father's position. Adam Schiff from the chairman of the Intel Committee is out and about this weekend on Sunday morning shows saying all of this news is just Russian disinformation and it's not true. You are the director of national intelligence. You see more intelligence than anybody in the country other than the president of the United States. So you can tell us what's real and what's fake. Is this Russian disinformation, director?
So, Maria, it's funny that some of the people that complain the most about intelligence being politicized are the ones politicizing intelligence. And unfortunately, in this case, it is Adam Schiff, the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee, who, as you pointed out on Friday, said that the intelligence community believes that Hunter Biden's laptop and the emails on it are part of some Russian disinformation campaign. Let me be clear. The intelligence community doesn't believe that because there's no intelligence that supports that. And we have shared no intelligence with Chairman Schiff or any other member of Congress that Hunter Biden's laptop is part of some Russian disinformation campaign. It's simply not true. And this is exactly what I said I would stop when I became the director of national intelligence. And that's people using the intelligence community to leverage some political narrative. And in this case, apparently, Chairman Schiff wants anything against his preferred political candidate to be deemed as not real and is using the intelligence community or attempting to use the intelligence community to say there's nothing to see here. Don't drag the intelligence community into this. Hunter Biden's laptop is not part of some Russian disinformation campaign, and I think it's clear that the American people know that. The intelligence community has not been involved with Hunter Biden's laptop. Hunter Biden is a U.S. person, and he would be subject to any investigation regarding fraud or corruption would be rightfully the jurisdiction of the FBI. So the FBI has had possession of this.
I think you can pause it here.
Commenting on any investigation.
There's a lot going on there, which if you've been following politics for the last 2 years is really interesting. But this guy, John Ratcliffe, he used to be in Congress, and he was one of the heroes at all the congressional hearings about the Russia disinformation and everything that happened to Trump in terms of the Mueller report and all that stuff. And so they moved him over to this job as the director of, national intelligence. Schiff and everybody repeatedly, you remember from the last election, they went, every single person is saying the Russians involved. Like, it's always this constant appeal to authority. So like, these are the chess pieces behind the scene where they move their guy into the position of the director of national intelligence that they can't make these claims. And so it's funny that they're still trying to make the claims of the intelligence community is saying it's Russian disinformation. And now Trump has his people in there. And I would think being a little bit more honest than the last go around. But since it's his person, he gets to say, nope, you guys, that was the bullshit you got to spin the last time when you were lying. But guess what? You lost your pawn piece on the board. I got my pawn here. So you can't make that claim anymore.
Well, it's funny because if you're I think if you're like a normal, reasonable person who pays attention to this shit, I don't care what either side is claiming the intelligence is. And I don't care what the three-letter fucking alphabet soup organizations are claiming the intelligence is. If you have evidence that this is a Russian disinformation campaign, great. Show us the evidence. And then I'll take a look at it and see if it's compelling. But that's it. And there's no, they do so much shit where it's just like assumed. Well, obviously we can't show you. Why would you not be able to show us the evidence of this being Russian disinformation? That's important information. Share it with us. Like, that's, you know, like, this is all so right away. You're like, okay, I don't care who says what there's evidence of. Show me the evidence or I just don't believe you because you're all a bunch of fucking liars and you've lied for years to the American people. So, but Schiff particularly has been caught red-handed lying about Russian interference, Russian collusion, Russian conspiracies for the last 4 years. So, no, I'm sorry. I'm not buying that for a second. And now you have the director of national intelligence just being like, yeah, he's making this up. There is nothing. And don't forget that Schiff, who is the head of the House Intelligence Committee, he said during the Mueller investigation that he had seen the smoking gun evidence that was going to lead to indictments. Was just lying through his teeth. It's bullshit. So, you know, anyway, this is just interesting to get that perspective. They can try to dismiss this as Russian disinformation, but there's no evidence that's been presented to believe that at all. All of the evidence points to the fact that they actually did get Hunter Biden's computer. You know, were the was it shady? Yeah, it seems a little bit weird. No question about it. It seems a little bit weird that Hunter Biden just went in and left his laptop and with all this sensitive shit and never recovered it. Then again, crackhead, got to make moves, crack to smoke. Great old Dave Chappelle joke. He's a crackhead, got to make moves, crack to smoke, chocolate to eat, you know. So that's is what it is.
Any movie you've ever watched, it's always the boss's idiot kid that he keeps in the organization that ruins the whole thing. Yeah. They keep those idiots around. Idiots, they keep being idiots.
Yeah, well, that's right. And then, of course, is it a little bit strange that the guy went through the hard drive, read emails, sent it to the FBI, also made a copy of it, and then sent it out to
the Trump
campaign?
He likes kiddie porn, too, and then he's trying to cover his tracks.
Yeah, which I think actually might be a felony, what he did. Like, if there is kiddie porn on there, that also might be a felony. By the way, I think it's a weird legal ground, because I think everyone you send that to and who watches it is committing a crime also. So it's a very strange kind of thing. However, all of that being weird or even a little unethical or shady does not make it false. And what we care about is the truth, particularly if there's crimes being committed or just, you know, even if it's legal corruption, that's important for people to know. So all of this, you know, this is the situation. It's strange, but it's fucking interesting, and we'll see where this goes. We're going to find out about this. We're going to figure out whether or not there's really more of a smoking gun here or whether this is a bluff in the next few weeks, I think. So we'll stay tuned.
Well, Giuliani's saying that there's going to be new stories coming out every single day. And the reason why he's going to drip the information is, I guess, firstly, at this point, it's smart to drip the information, because if they had done it all at once, you know, with that Twitter block, maybe it would have disappeared. So I guess if, like, you know, they drip the what's not the worst of it first, and then they bust these people for trying to block the information. But I mean, he's claiming that he's hoping that he can catch Biden in a lie where he says something about the earlier information and then later information comes out. But it seems a little shady to me that if they've got this close to the election with this many people mailing in their votes, that if they've got this smoking gun of like pedophilia or something else, why they wouldn't be putting it out?
Yeah,
there.
You would think you would want that out as soon as possible. But who knows? Maybe they're full of shit. Maybe they don't really have a smoking gun, or maybe they've got a trick up their sleeve, and we will see.
The one thing I can think which would be really interesting is if they've got that smoking gun and they release it like a day or two before the election, and so the Dems can't, you know, swipe Joe Biden off of the ballot, and then it turns out that the amount of mail-in votes from a month ago, statistically versus the amount of people that shifted because they were able to make decisions on this information, if that becomes a big point of contention amongst who should be in office, especially if it turns out that Joe can't even do the job from day one and that everyone who voted for Joe would be really voting for Kamala, how that would then play out in the court.
It's all of that stuff's going to be interesting. I'm convinced more and more that no matter who ends up winning this election, they are going to be perceived as illegitimate by the other side. But that would certainly be one way to make that happen. Okay, so the other clip that I wanted to play today, which is just going to be a fun one to go into, is our favorite little piggy over at CNN, Brian Stelter. And it's just interesting to see, right, to kind of look at the reactions of everybody and how they deal with a story like this. So here is how, there's a great example, one of the stars of the corporate press, how he handles this Hunter Biden controversy. Let's check in with our favorite little piggy.
The New York Post front page announcing Biden secret emails, more shadiness involving Hunter Biden. As political entertainment goes, this is not a brand new TV show. It's just a new season of the show. Hunter Biden's business dealings in Ukraine were a key part of the plot last season.
All right, so just pause it already.
Hunter
it's just,
has already apologized.
It's like crazy how fucking just the blatant propaganda. So it already starts out with, oh, crazy story. Huh? The political entertainment, blah, blah, blah. It's like, well, what about this is not a, listen, if this is true, right? If just the information we've already gotten out of this. If it's true, then it's like blatant corruption, and Joe Biden lied about it. So in no universe is that not a political scandal if it's true. Now, if it's not true, okay, show me what the reason to think it's not true is. Like, I'm fine with that. But to just like dismiss it as like, oh, political entertainment. And then as he was about to say here, Hunter Biden already apologized for it, kind of, or at least he said it was poor judgment. It's like, well, okay, but this is a whole different level. We all knew that this was a swampy, you know, swamp creature thing to do, whatever Hunter Biden had said. We know. Obviously, nobody thinks this guy had such important knowledge in the energy sector, or, you know, was so valuable to this company that he deserved $50,000 a month or whatever he was getting. We've known this for over a year now. Okay. Everyone gets that. But this is now indicating that he set up meetings between his father and one of the execs at the company. So that's a whole, that's a scandal. I'm sorry. There's no way to slice that, that it's not, okay, that's a political scandal. But of course, this has to be the tone going into it. So anyway, I first just thought that was worth noting. Let's keep playing.
Apologize. Well, he's already admitted to poor judgment and swampy behavior. His father has said that it will not happen again. And at this point, most people have moved on. But Trump needs a closing argument. So he and his media.
All right. So again, let's just pause it. Just notice the tactics. Notice the absolute bullshit tactics that the corporate press uses. Imagine if they just go, most people have moved on. Like, well, okay, that's not how you cover a news story. If there's a scandal, you don't just go, well, most people have moved on. You would say, well, hey, you guys shouldn't move on because there's a scandal here. You just go, oh, most people have moved on, but Trump needs a closing argument. Well, look, obviously that's true. I mean, it's not as if it's untrue that Trump needs a closing argument. It's like, you know, but you can't just look at a story like if it just came out that Joe Biden like murdered puppies or something like that, you wouldn't go like, well, obviously Trump just wants this story because it'll help him politically. It's like, well, yes, that's true, but that's not really the story here. The story is that we found out Joe Biden murders puppies. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, this is such a tactic to go, well, most people have moved on and Trump just needs an argument. It's like, well, of course, they're in an election. Of course, Trump wants the best argument against Joe Biden that he can find. None of this has anything to do with whether or not this is a newsworthy story. Doesn't matter if people have moved on. Doesn't matter if Trump wants something that damages Biden. The question is this a political scandal or not? And it clearly is. Again, if it's true. And if it's not, then okay, present evidence that it's not. But all the evidence seems to point toward this being real. All right, let's get back to it.
What aboutism, right? So
here, just pull it back a little bit and then let's start that clip because
this part is the funnest part.
Yes.
Usually rely on what aboutism, right? So you ask about the Trump family swampiness and they say, what about Hunter Biden? You raise Trump's legal exposure and they say, what about Obamagate? You might say, or liberal critics say, Trump is compromised. And they say, no, Biden's compromised.
Can you pause for a second?
Yes.
He's like a glue.
Okay. This is the most glorious rip with irony thing I've ever heard because mm-hmm. he is actively engaging in whataboutism. In other words, there's an accusation against Trump. And as opposed to addressing that accusation, I mean, an accusation against Biden, whether or not this accusation is so bad, he goes, well, what about what Trump's doing? And Trump, he's a guy who says, what about what Biden's doing? Like you're doing exactly what you accuse them of doing in this very moment.
First of all, this makes my blood boil. I actually had to sit down and think about why this makes my blood boil so much. Like sometimes something pisses you off so much and you're like, wait, what is it exactly about this that's pissing me off so much? Well, there's a few
It
things.
Also pissed me off. I'm about 40 pounds and unshaved eyebrows away from looking like this guy.
You know what? I kind of see it now that you mentioned it. I see it a little bit. Well, okay. So the first thing that really pisses me off is a grown man using the term whataboutism. It just sounds like something a 14-year-old chick should say. This is something that a 14-year-old says on TikTok. This is not something that an anchor on CNN should be saying. Whataboutism? And then, of course, there is your point about the just wonderful irony of the whole situation that he is engaging in whataboutism as he's criticizing it. I mean, it's and so blatantly, like it's just, it's unbelievable. You literally go like, okay, so there's a story about Hunter Biden and his corruption. And this is just like Trump. This is what he always does, whataboutism. And every time you criticize something about Trump, they do that. So, okay, you're doing the exact thing you're accusing him of doing. You're also revealing something pretty profound without even meaning to, that it's like, as soon as we say, well, what about Trump scandal? They go, well, what about Joe Biden scandal? And then we say, well, what about this other Trump scandal? And they say, well, what about Joe Biden scandal? And they're like, okay, why are you always starting with the Trump scandal? Brian Stelter, I thought you were just calling balls and strikes. I thought you were an objective journalist. So why aren't you going, well, what about the Joe Biden scandal? Like, okay. The other thing that drives me nuts about this whataboutism thing, like, and it is, okay, there is to some degree, like a logical fallacy. If you're trying to argue, like if you were to call me out, so hypocrisy or some other, you know, scandal doesn't disprove an original claim, right? So like, if I were to say, smoking is bad for you, you know, it can cause lung cancer. And you were to say, yeah, but you smoke, right? Okay, you've called me out for hypocrisy, but that doesn't actually disprove my argument, like the fact that I'm a hypocrite. And so if you were to say, hey, you're a hypocrite, and I go, well, you're also a hypocrite. Now, that doesn't disprove the claim against me, right? So that there is something there. But whataboutism in general is completely legitimate. And that's the other thing. It's not just that I hate the actual term. I hate the insinuation that you're not allowed to put things into context, which is like 90% of the time, that's what whataboutism is. It's putting things into context. If you are saying that, like, if there are two corrupt actors competing for something, and everyone is focused on how one of them is corrupt all the time, it is completely reasonable to point out that the other one in the competition is also corrupt. That not only reasonable, it's the only sane thing to do. So of course, like if you talk about other things, you know, and part of the game is this, right? Like Trump is the president of the United States of America. So of course he is awful. Because they all are, you know, like he's a politician. Politicians are awful. You can always find a million things, not just the crimes, but like just horrible things about politicians. It's like the people who are driven to rule over other people tend to be like narcissistic, sociopathic liars. That's the way it is, you know? But there's this game where they pretend that Trump is this unique evil, far more evil than all the other presidents who were basically good people. And that's always what they're saying. Trump is unique evil, far worse than all the other presidents. And then anytime you go, well, no, but I mean, you know, Obama was really horrible in this way. They go, oh, whataboutism. Oh, see, you're not allowed to bring that up. So that's our game. You can't put anything into perspective or into historical context, or we say a 14-year-old girl's word, whataboutism, and now we feel like we won the argument. It just makes my fucking blood boil. So no, whataboutism is mostly legitimate most of the time. I'm sure it could be misused in some particular way, but for the most part, it's a completely legitimate thing to be like, what about this? Like, why? It's the only people who like object to what about this are people who don't want to talk about this. Those are the people who like use this word to dismiss whatever your criticism is. And the truth is that the odds are, either the Democrats or the Republicans are going to win this election, right? Like probably Biden or Trump, perhaps Kamala Harris. But those are the options of who's going to be president when this, you know, come January. And so it's completely reasonable if somebody is trashing either Trump or Biden to say, well, what about the other guy? We have to compare the two of them. And so, you know, like, okay, if there is a scandal with Trump or something like that, and you say, well, what about Biden's scandals? That doesn't disprove or that doesn't clear Donald Trump of a scandal, but it certainly is legitimate to also talk about the scandals involving the other people, which this segment started with that as the topic. So again, just so many things. It's like, whataboutism is a bullshit word. You're engaging in the same behavior you're criticizing. And of course, what have we not been talking about through this whole thing is the scandal, the actual scandal, which has been reported on, whether you like him or not, by one of the biggest newspapers in the country. All right, let's keep playing.
It also supplies hours and hours of TV drama. So stay mad and stay tuned. That's what it's really about. Let's get back to the new season's storyline. Let's break down how this all happened. Because it was launched, as I showed you, by the New York Post, and then promoted by another Murdoch media property. That, of course, is Fox News. You worry about Trump's corruption, and Fox says, what about Biden? Every hour of the day. So Fox is a producer of this serialized drama, but there are big questions about who might have created this show. And that's what's probably most important here. CNN reported on Friday that U.S. authorities are seeing if those emails we just talked about are connected to an ongoing Russian disinformation effort. Huh. Now, we already know some of the American producers of this drama, because the New York Post says it was tipped off to the existence of the emails by Steve Bannon. Then Rudy Giuliani gave the Post a copy of a hard drive containing the emails. Now, here's where it gets even weirder. The Post claimed that the emails were found on a laptop computer that was brought to a repair shop in Delaware in the spring of 2019. And a shop employee saw the emails and then was worried about getting in trouble or getting in danger, and he made copies of them. There's a lot about this story that does not add up. And the employee has not helped matters. He has contradicted himself in interviews with reporters. And, I mean, for all we know, these emails are made up, or maybe some are real and others are fakes. We don't know. But we do know that this is a classic example of the right-wing media machine. A tip from Bannon and a hard drive dump from Rudy led a former producer for Sean Hannity's show to write a story for the New York Post that gets splashed on the front page, that Rudy then used to trash the Bidens all over Fox, and they're doing it almost every hour of the day. And Trump has been hyping the drama for days on end, and this is how it goes on and on. Now let's pull up Don Jr.'s tweet from just a little while ago. How, he says, how will the media attempt to sweep this one under the rug? That is the meta narrative. That's the big story they're telling, all about grievance and bias and victimhood.
All right. So it really is, it's just incredible to watch them operate, because it even from his own perspective, like, he doesn't see when he goes, how will the media sweep this under the rug? And it's like, well, Brian, you just did a segment on it. I mean, you just did a segment demonstrating how you will attempt to sweep this under the rug this way, just like this. Well, I mean, this is the Fox News machine, and it's the Washington Post, and it's Fox News. They're the only ones reporting on it. It's a really interesting tactic there, right? Where all of you guys won't report on this stuff, or if you do, you'll do it like this. And then your argument is, look, it's only Fox News and the Washington Post and the New York Post who's reporting on it.
And he's saying, right, it might not be true. You're a journalist, yes, and saying we shouldn't address this because it might not be true.
Now,
well, isn't
just
your
go
job
ahead
to, yes, investigate?
Now, again, just contrast this with how Brian Stelter covered the Russian collusion hoax. You know, I mean, he was one of the biggest, guys out there pushing this stuff, all this stuff that turned out to be bullshit. Now, I don't ever remember him being reporting on it going, oh, see, this is the game. This is how they get you. They want to keep you angry about Trump-Russia collusion. And, you know, the circumstances of how they got this were really shady. I mean, Hillary Clinton goes to an ex-British spy, and it's opposition research. And it really seems to be CNN and MSNBC and the New York Times who are pushing this, you know, the kind of liberal-leaning news. And we don't know if this is true. So what are we going to do? You know, we don't know. Now, all of that, all of the arguments he's making here could be applied way better to the Russia collusion bullshit. But he doesn't do that, does he? If there's one thing that's just really great about the Trump years, man, is that the agenda of the corporate press is becoming more and more transparent. And on that note, we have to wrap. I got to go record a Run Your Mouth. I'm sorry. I have to go record a You're Welcome.
You heard it, Dave. Episode. Run Your Mouth this Thursday. Exclusive.
There we go. But make sure you go check out Run Your Mouth with Rob Bernstein and follow him on Twitter @RobbieTheFire. All right. That's it for us. See you Wednesday. Peace.